What's up, everybody? You're listening to The Raven's Grove. I'm your host, Dahi, and today we're going to be going back to our long-running segment, Warfare Through History. More specifically, we're going to be talking about one of my personal heroes, a woman who brought the Roman Empire to its knees, Boudicca. Now, before we begin, and this is vital for this episode of The Raven's Grove features the following trigger warnings. Sexual assault mentions, including that of children, blood and gore mentions, death mentions, including child death mentions, battle and war mentions, spear mentions, sword mentions, poison mentions, and suicide mentions. So if any of those are in any way an issue for you, please give this episode a miss, because believe me, this is one of the more heavy episodes I talked about, and the mentions I just listed, they are vital to telling the story, but they can be quite confronting for some people, so if you're in any way triggered by these, please give this episode a miss. Right, so to get things started, let's talk about the Roman invasion of Britannia. Now, if you're a long-time listener to this podcast, you'll know that I have a vehement hatred of the Roman Empire. This loathing is actually because I did classical studies at university, but despite what I just said, I really enjoy those subjects and the teachers who poured their heart and soul into teaching said subjects. However, I should point out that not only am I proudly Norse Celtic pagan, as many people who listen to the podcast may already know, my ancestry is predominantly Celtic, and learning about the atrocities that the Romans committed to people who I am extremely proud to say were my ancestors, well, let's just say that if you were or are in a similar situation, I hope you'd feel the same. Anyways, when the Roman Empire invaded Britannia, the Celtic tribes were not always antagonistic towards the Romans. By the 1st century AD, most of the Romans had made nominal allies with many of the Celtic tribes, but, well, these alliances were fragile, to say the least. Now, one of the Celtic tribes that were, on paper, allies of the Romans were the Iceni tribe. Based in Norfolk and parts of Cambridgeshire, Suffolk, and Lincolnshire in England, during the reign of the Roman Emperor Nero, the king of the Iceni was a man called Prester Targus. He and his consort Boudicca, known in Welsh as Budug, had two daughters and were officially allies of Rome. However, when Prester Targus died, there was a storm of problems. You see, Prester Targus had made an agreement with the Romans that upon his death, half his lands would go to Rome and half would be given to Boudicca and the Iceni. Problem is, well, the Romans didn't honor the agreement. And when Prester Targus died, they seized the entirety of the Iceni lands themselves. Boudicca and her daughters went to the Romans to rightfully claim what had been promised to them, but, well, the Roman betrayal turned ugly. According to the historian Tacitus, the Romans pillaged the countryside, ransacked the royal household of the Iceni, had Boudicca flogged, and her two daughters, both of whom were still children, raped by the entire Roman garrison. This unprovoked act of brutality sparked a fire and an unquenchable thirst for vengeance in Boudicca, and she went on a crusade of blood against the Romans. Now, here's where I need to add some context in, just so some of you modern listeners can understand just how badass this is. Women in Celtic culture actually did have serious rights compared to other cultures in Europe at the time, including being found on the battlefield as warriors. But for a woman to be a war leader in Celtic culture was unheard of, and yet Boudicca achieved just that. Using her considerable social status as queen of one of the most powerful Celtic tribes, her likely position as a high-ranking druidess, and her natural charisma, she united the Celtic tribes of Britannia into a single force and set out to annihilate the Roman presence in the British Isles. The first target of the rebels was Camulodunum, in modern-day Colchester, a Roman colonia for retired soldiers. A Roman temple had been erected there to Claudius at great expense to the local population. Combined with brutal treatment of the local Britons by the veterans, well, this had caused resentment towards the Romans. The Iceni and the Trinovantes comprised an army of 120,000 soldiers. The historian Dio claimed that Boudicca had called upon the British goddess of victory Andraste to provide aid to her army. Once the revolt had begun, the only Roman troops available to provide assistance, aside from the few within the colony, were 200 auxiliaries located in London, who were not equipped to fight Boudicca's army. Colchester was captured by the rebels. Those inhabitants who survived the initial attack took refuge in the Temple of Claudius for 2 days before they were all killed. Quintus Vitilius Caerellius, I hope I pronounced that right, then commanding the legion, the 9th Hispanic Legion of the Roman Army, attempted to relieve Colchester, but suffered an overwhelming defeat. The infantry with him were all killed, and only the commander and some of his cavalry escaped. After this disaster, the Roman prefect, Catus Decianus, whose behavior had provoked the rebellion, fled abroad to Gaul, modern-day France. Suetonius, the Roman leader, was leading a campaign against the Isle of Mona, off the north coast of Wales. Upon hearing the news of the Iceni uprising, he left the garrison on Mona and returned to deal with Boudica. He arrived quickly with a force of men through hostile territory into Londinium, modern-day London, which he reached before the arrival of Boudica's army, but outnumbered, he decided to abandon the town to the rebels, who burned it down after torturing and killing everyone who remained. The rebels also sacked the municipality of Verulamium, in modern-day St. Albans, northwest of London, though the extent of the destruction is unclear. Dio and Tacitus both reported that around 80,000 people were said to have been killed by the rebels. According to Tacitus, the Britons had no interest in taking the Roman population as prisoners, only in slaughter by, and I'm quoting it directly here, gibbet, fire, or cross, end quote. Dio adds that the noble women, the Romans, were impaled on spikes and had their breasts cut off and sewn into their mouths, and to the accompaniment of sacrifices, banquets, and wanton behavior in sacred places, particularly the groves of Andraste. To this day, archaeological digs in London, Colchester, and St. Albans all have a solid layer of ash in the stratigraphy, the layers in the ground, from where Boudica razed those cities to the dust. I'm not kidding. Like, it's actually on episodes of Time Team where they're digging in test pits in London. You go down deep enough, there's a solid band of soot and ash from when Boudica razed London to the ground. Now, the Celtic luck is streak, however, it was about to run out. See, Boudica got careless. When fighting the Romans, you never let them dictate the battlefield. You force them into terrain where their military formations and artillery will be of no use. And, well, yeah, you guessed it. Boudica allowed Suetonius to not only regroup his forces, but also to dictate the battlefield. Suetonius amassed an army of almost 10,000 men at Watling Street. Now, I should point out, Watling Street is an old Roman road, but we don't know the exact location of it, and we don't know exactly where this battle took place. All we know is it's called the Battle of Watling Street. And so he took a stand in a defile with a wood behind him. The Romans used the terrain to their advantage, launching their javelins at the Britons before advancing a wedge formation and deploying cavalry. Now, according to Dio, the rebels outnumbered around 230,000 men. So the Roman army was heavily outnumbered, but thanks to the Romans dictating the battlefield, Boudica's army was crushed. And according to Tacitus, neither the women nor the animals in the army were spared. Tacitus states that Boudica poisoned herself. Dio said she fell sick and died. After which, both accounts agree she was given a lavish burial. It's been argued that these accounts are not actually mutually exclusive. Now, to this day, the site of her tomb is unknown, but popular legend says her final resting place is beneath King's Cross Station in London. Now, I am personally of the opinion that Boudica poisoned herself. I mean, having read what happened to Celtic leaders like Vercingetorix when they were defeated by Rome, she almost certainly wanted to avoid that. And to be honest, I have a lot of respect for her for doing what she did. I mean, to be honest, she's one of my heroes, and I completely can sympathize with her motives for what she did. I don't approve of her killing innocent women and kids, mind. I want to make that absolutely clear. But I am saying that if I was in a similar situation to her, I probably would have done the exact same thing. And so I have enormous respect for her for actually doing this, because she nearly drove the Romans out of Britain entirely, and if she hadn't gotten careless, she would have done so. Now, one of the earliest possible mentions of Boudica, excluding Tacitus and Dio's accounts, was in the 6th century work De Exidio et Conquesto Britanniae by the Roman monk Gildas. In it, he demonstrates his knowledge of a female leader who he describes as, quote, a treacherous lioness who butchered the governors who had been left to give fuller voice and strength to the endeavors of the Roman people. Both the Venerable Bede's Ecclesiastical History of the British People from 731 AD and the 9th century work Historia Britonum by the Welsh monk Nennius include references to the uprising of 60-61 CE, but they don't actually mention Boudica by name. No contemporary description of Boudica actually exists, though, so we don't know what she looked like. Dio, writing more than a century after her death, provided a detailed description of the Iceni queen. Now, bear in mind, this translation was made in 1925, so it's not in modern vernacular, but I'll do my best to translate. In stature, she was very tall, in appearance most terrifying, in the glance of her eyes most fierce, and her voice was harsh. A great mass of the tawniest hair fell to her hips, around her neck was a large gold necklace, and she wore a tunic of divers colours, over which a thick mantle was fastened with a brooch. This was her invariable attire. End quote. Now, I have to say, that strikes a pretty vivid picture. And to be honest, I can certainly imagine that as like a queen of the Celts. Now, if you're after some modern day videos about Boudicca, I'd recommend either The Celts' Blood, Iron, and Sacrifice, which is a 3-part documentary, or Barbarians Rising, which is a 4-part documentary done by the History Channel. Both of them have got episodes about Boudicca. They go talk about her in detail. Be warned, both of them do have fairly graphic scenes where you see what happened to her and her daughters. So just be aware of that when you go in there. However, they are very, very well done. So I would highly recommend them if you're after a good documentary, as long as you are over the age of 15. Because, to be honest, well, they're not for kids. They're definitely not for kids. Anyway, that's all for today, folks. Thanks for listening to The Raven's Grove. I've been Dahi. You've been awesome. I'll talk to you in the next episode. See ya.